Can y'all good to see Brother Philip with us this morning, brother. So glad to have you this morning, my friend. Our visitors, welcome. Glad to have you back here or coming for the first time. Some of you have come back maybe twice, and if you come three times, you're family. We say that, it's the way it goes, but good to see all of you this morning. How many of you had a good week? Man, I'm going to start praying for all of you right now. My goodness. How many of you had a good week this week? My goodness. Obviously, y'all woke up every day because you made it all the way to today, so every day ought to have been a pretty good day. Even if bad things happen, it's still a good day. Man, I'm telling you what, I don't walk by sight. I don't walk by feeling. I walk by faith. And you know what my faith is in? It ain't in the mailman who likes to bring me bills. It ain't in the government who likes to overcharge me for taxes everywhere I turn. It ain't in the employer who thinks that you get paid too much when you're doing too much already and paid too little. My faith is in the Creator and Jehovah Jireh. That's who my faith's in. How many of you got faith in God? Yeah. Well, you came to the right place this morning, didn't you? So I want y'all to know I've got black socks on today. I just want to go ahead and I'm going to show them bad boys off here. Last week, I sported white socks, and thanks. Nobody made fun of me that I know of, and so I'm really appreciative of that. But I got black socks on, which means we are starting to get stuff unpacked and put away. So want to tell you, we had a – I'm going to – can I – it? All right, good. Thank you, brother. It is a little warm. I'll tell you what, I'm grateful for the sunshine, but I'm ready for this heat to be gone. I like the 70-degree weather, you know what I'm saying, where you just go outside and you don't sweat the moment you walk out the doors. I'm ready for a little bit. My air conditioning is screaming, help me, help me. I'm ready for some good fall weather. I don't know about y'all, but we're getting stuff packed in. I put out a call, I can't remember, Tuesday or Wednesday, but as Ashley and I were going through stuff and moving the houses and all kind of good stuff here, I noticed something. We had a bunch of junk. I'm glad I'm the only one in the church that can say that. That's okay with me. We had a bunch of junk, a bunch of clutter. And we started packing boxes. I said, oh, we only need about 5 or 10 boxes. That's all we're going to need. Well, 5 or 10 covered half of one of the kids' rooms. I said, man, I'm going to go broke here buying boxes to pack all this stuff up in. But we just kept packing boxes. And it seemed like the more I packed, the more stuff multiplied. We pull one thing out and two more would appear. And I was, so finally I said, honey, my wife said, we're going to declutter as we pack. I said, well, hallelujah. Okay. Listen, what better time than the present? I thought we'd already done this back in the spring. We had cleared out some stuff. But we packed up two truckloads, truckloads full of stuff to take down to Portland Cares. God bless Portland Cares here in town. And, we donate, and listen, we don't give away, like, the worn-out holy jeans. You understand what I'm saying? We're going to give somebody, it needs to be usable in a good condition for them. So if it had holes in it, it went in the trash. But everything that went down there was good stuff that people could actually use, and we donated. But two truckloads of stuff donated and one trailer full of stuff donated. And I started realizing, over all these years, the amount of stuff that we have just been accumulating. And it wasn't like we went to the store and said, let me take one of everything you got on the shelves. It was piece by piece, we started picking up here, picking up there. And before we knew it, we had so much stuff that our house was jam-packed full. And I thought, now when we move into this house, we're going to have all this extra room. We get rid of all this stuff. You know what I realized? I didn't need all that stuff to begin with. All that stuff that we had accumulated really served no purpose at all. Matter of fact, some things we looked at, and I couldn't even remember where they came from or how we got them. And then I know we ain't used it in the last 6 months because it had about that much dust. No, I'm kidding. My wife cleans. Stop it. She's a good. No, I'm sorry, honey. That was a joke. But it had been sitting there for forever. I'm in the doghouse already. Been preaching 5 minutes, y'all. Y'all be praying for me today, all right? But I noticed, you know, some of the stuff hadn't even been used in 6 months as we're getting out, and I started thinking about it, and I said, the Lord spoke to me. He said, you know what? My house is like your house right now. I've got a bunch of Christians that are spirit-filled, but only to a certain point because their lives are full of clutter. I'm telling you, the body of Christ has so many Christians that has so much clutter in them that it's time to start clearing the house. Today's message I'm going to preach on is called Clean Out the Closet. You need to clean out your spiritual closet. Now, I'm telling you, what we are Christians who are asking for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. We want the move of God in our lives, but we don't make enough room in it for him to come into it. We've got all this other stuff cluttering it and filling it up. And I want to tell you something. God and sin don't like to reside in the same house. Say, Pastor, you're going to step on my toes. It's Sunday. Get used to it. It happens to me all week long as I prepare for Sunday. I'm telling you, I have to put Band-Aids on my toes, and I thank God for the correction because you know what? He loves me enough to tell me the truth. And the truth is what sets me free. I learned a long time ago that in order for me to advance in the kingdom of God and with him, I needed to be teachable, which means that I got to be corrected sometimes. And when I'm corrected, you know what I don't do? I don't get offended in my correctedness. If I did, that gives the devil an opportunity to take hold and to come in. I stand there and I praise him for it, that he loves me enough, that he wants the best for me. He wants the best for you too. And I want you to understand, I love you enough that I'm going to preach the truth. I don't want you to be deceived by some TikTok or Facebook reel that tells you all this fluffed up stuff that's got no theological or truth based in it. All it is something for you to push a like and a share. That don't get you to heaven. And let me tell you what else. Those little TikTok reels that people are so adamant about don't get you spirit-filled either. You can't sit at home. Now, I'm really going to stay. I don't dog other churches. I'm never going to speak. It's one body of Christ. If they're preaching Jesus, they're preaching salvation, they're preaching the blood of the Lamb, I'm good with them. But I'm going to tell you something right now. We got people sitting at home that think that somehow they can watch the television or watch Facebook and they can get a streaming and that they think that somehow they're going to get a fresh touch from God. They're out of their minds. I know that's a holy hush. When you come together, I always preach three sermons. Y'all know that, right? This is sermon one. When you come into the house of God, you know what's special about it? You, Roger. You, Mary. You, Carla. Brother Ron, you're what's special about it. Brother Terry, you're what's special. Keisha, you're what's special. When we come into the body of Christ together and we come together like this, do you know that where two or three are gathered, there he is in the presence? He's right here amongst us. When you're sitting there at home and you're watching something on television, it's just you and whoever else is in your household and a TV. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not saying they don't have good words. I'm not telling you not to study from those things. I do. I study those. I watch them. I study from them. But I do not forsake the assembling together. And there is power in numbers. As we collectively come together of one mind, things will start to happen. And I don't know about you, but just like that song right there, I love that song. Holy Spirit, rain down. Rain down. How many of you want to see the Spirit rain down again? How many of you want to operate and just know that you know that you know that everywhere you go, the Spirit of God is all over you and it radiates off you and other people feel it? How many of you like to walk in that daily? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I want that as well, but it's not going to happen if the body of Christ doesn't learn how to clean out its closets. You can't expect a fresh move of the Spirit if there's no room for him in your heart to receive him. You got to have room there. You are the temple. 2 Corinthians 7:1, here's what the Bible says. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I want you to know something, that we just talked about all these promises. How many of you were last week here? We talked about being operating in the divine nature that God has given us, right? Those are exceedingly great and precious promises that we have. Now, we've been given all these promises, but you got to make room to have those promises received in your life. I'm going to tell you right now, if you living like the devil but want to operate like the Holy Spirit, it ain't going to happen. It just isn't going to happen. You can't go out and Well, I'm going to say it right now. You can't go out and serve the devil Monday through Saturday and then Sunday expect to come in and serve God. That's not going to happen. You may think so. The devil may want you to believe that that's how it could go. Now, don't get me wrong. You're going to mess up during the week. Don't get me wrong. I messed up on Monday. So did I. Tuesday, me too. Wednesday, absolutely. Thursday, Friday, matter of fact, all the way up to this morning. But it doesn't matter because you know I'm seeking him first. If you're a born-again Christian and you're seeking God first, you're going to mess up. But you know what? Jesus says, I've already forgiven your mess-ups. He already knows what I'm going to do this afternoon. You know that? Jesus already knew what you were going to do tomorrow when he died on the cross 2,000 years ago. He still died on the cross for you. He still died on that cross for me. Isn't that good news? You know what it is? It's not about trying to be holy. It's about trying to love him and put him first. See, I love my wife. I talk about this all the time because I do. I love my wife dearly. And because I love my wife, I try to do things that please my wife. I rub my wife's feet sometimes. Y'all men, y'all taking notes? I know all the women here are doing this number right. That's right, I do. Honey, do I cook for you? I cook for you. No, I'm going to give y'all a lesson today. No. I got peace in my house. And let me tell you what else happens in my house. When I say, honey, God told us this is what we're going to do, you know what my wife says? Amen. Let's go and do it. You know why? Not because I set her up for that. It's because she knows that I'm following God, and so she'll follow me. But let me tell you something. I appreciate a woman who can appreciate that and does it just like the Bible tells us how to do it. So, yes, I rub my wife's feet. But let me tell you, I don't rub my wife's feet so that she can, you know, scratch my back. I rub my wife's feet because I love her. When I make a decision on something that I know that will impact her or our relationship, I call her and talk about it before I make the decision. See, it's the same way with God. When we put God first, what we do is we actually just try to please and serve God. But do you know there's times when I fail my wife and I mess up? Maybe I rub her feet too hard. No, I'm just kidding. Man, not me. That's right. Maybe I make a decision that sometimes, you know, I've done and I've had to ask for forgiveness before asking for permission. Y'all ever done that? You know what she said? She didn't say, well, I'm divorcing you. It's over with. She said, it's okay, honey. I understand. Do you know that's what it's like with God? That's what I'm talking about. See, when you're trying to serve God and you're putting him first, even when you mess up, God says, it's okay, my son. I know. It's all right. It's already been forgiven. Just keep moving forward with it. And I want you to know something. That's what living by the word of God is for us. And that's what we need to do. So when we're serving God like this, we want to operate in the promises that he's been giving us, but we're going to make room for him. You are the temple. You need to keep it clean. And 1 Corinthians 3:16, here's what the Bible says. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? See, in our household, when you want to come over for dinner, please call me before you come. Because I'm going to tell you why. We're cleaning like a madman. If my wife knows we've got company coming over to our house, all of a sudden we got cleaning supplies that I didn't even know it existed. And somehow she thinks that scrubbing the walls would be exactly what we need to do for you to come over and have dinner. So we're over here. We are cleaning. We're getting, the detailed stuff down to it, right? Yeah, sorry, honey, you married me. You knew I was going to be a pastor. Suck it up. I'm going to pay for that one later, too. I told y'all pray for me real hard today. But, you know, we keep the temple clean. You are the temple. You got to keep the temple clean. You wouldn't invite somebody to come to your house if your house was dirty, would you? What if the president was coming to your house? What if President Trump said, I'm going to come and visit you tomorrow? How many of you would be home today straightening up before he showed up tomorrow? Bob's already got his place ready for him. But let me tell you something. It's the same way. We want to invite the Spirit of God inside of our hearts, but we ain't got our hearts cleaned up. You ain't getting rid of all the junk that's in it to prepare for him to come. Now, why would we do that? We're the temple of God. We ought to keep it clean. You know what that means? That means getting out all that junk in there, that bitterness, that pride, that unforgiveness, the things that you compromise on, the fear that can ruin and run your life. We need to get all that junk out of our hearts. The Spirit of God wants to fill you up fully from corner to corner, but he's not going to do it if you don't make room for him. If you've got all this stuff sitting in the way, you got to sweep out that junk. You got to get rid of all that stuff that's in there. And how do you do it? Simple. You take it and you donate it. Just like all that stuff we did in our house, we packed it all up and we got it together and I took it down to Portland Cares and I drove up to the big bay window and we just started shoveling stuff out and we started giving it to them and giving it to them and giving it to them. And I'm telling you, that's what we need to do now. You need to take whatever's in you, take it to the cross of Jesus, pour it out right there at the cross, and then leave it and don't come back for it. I didn't show back up at Portland Cares on Tuesday and said, oh, you know what? The stuff I gave you yesterday, I want to take half of it back. But we got Christians that want to do that. You want to turn over something to God and then come back to the cross and pick it back up again when he's trying to tell you you don't own it anymore. You've turned it over to him. That's how you do it. It's simple. It's not hard. Lord, I surrender it. Give it over to him. Oh, man. One of the greatest things that I got set free of with myself. I'm going to say that again. One of the greatest things I got set free of was myself. When I figured out that I can't do it all, that it all doesn't depend upon me, and I got revelation of that, that it all depends on God, the Holy Spirit, giving me the power and the wisdom how to walk through life. When I got a hold of that and I said, I can't do it, and I put myself to the side, I was able to unload all my junk. It ain't my junk no more. I gave it over to the cross. I gave it over to Jesus. The reason why he died for me, he took all those sins and put them on himself and nailed them to that tree that day. The blood shed to wash away my sins, and he didn't do it in vain. He did it because he wanted me to be clean and clear and righteous, and he wanted me to know it and operate in it. How many of you are the righteousness of Christ? Yes, amen. If you don't know it, you are. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, everything should change. But listen, it isn't just about getting it all out. You need to start confessing what you want to possess. Your confession will become your possession. When we started clearing out all that stuff out of our house, you know what I started looking at? Well, I want this, and I want this, and boy, I got room now. I can have this come in, and I got room to get me a new sofa if I want a new sofa. And all of a sudden, I realized I had all these other things out of the way, and I could see everything clearly, and I said, now I want to start calling in some things into my home. Now, we do the same thing in our spiritual life. When we start dumping all that junk that's out of us like that, then what we need to do is we need to start confessing the spiritual goodness to come in and fill it back up. You start filling it up. And Hebrews tells us at 10:23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised it is faithful. God can't lie. We said it last week. I handed out that little sheet of paper with all these God's promises, hundreds of God's promises in the Bible that are for you and me. But it's not just about clearing out the house. It's about filling it back up with something that's supposed to be in it. If we'll start confessing that, Mark 11:23 tells us, says that we'll have whatever we say. Now, but if you don't say it, you don't confess it, you won't have it. Well, I don't believe that. Well, that's okay. That's what the Bible says. I'm going to tell you right now, you know what I confess? Just like old John Davidson used to say all the time, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed and highly favored. I've got wisdom. Pat was telling me this morning, read a little thing here from Charles Capps. I hope he reads that next week there. I've got everything that I need right now. You've got everything that you need right now. Start calling it in. Here's what I need in my house. I need the overflowing joy of the Lord in my home. I want the Shekinah glory in my house. I want when you walk into my house, you go, whoo, God's in here. What do you think we do to this church? Bethany, I heard her say this. She said when she walked in here, she felt God. Why do you think that's the case? 28 years of calling things in. 28 years of standing under the promises of God and operating in the Spirit of the Lord. 28 years. Let me tell you something. If you'll start calling it in, it'll start filling up your closet. Now, I want y'all to, how many, you ready for an exercise? I want you to repeat after me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. My mind is renewed by the word of God. See, when you speak God's word over your life, you will take possession of the word and put it in your life. That's what you got to do. Last week I told you, get your scripture, write it out, put it on somewhere where you can see it, have it up there. That's what you need to do, and you need to start confessing it every day. If you need movement in your finances, get your scripture. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches of glory in Christ. How many of you may be battling a health problem? I shall live and not die and proclaim the works of the Lord. By his stripes, I am healed. Do you understand? And I'll tell you what I do with my Bible. When it says you or something like that, I put my name. Mike, your needs shall be met. Ooh, man. Mike, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Those promises are personal for you and me. So when you start getting out that junk in your life, start speaking and bringing in the good stuff of God into it. Addiction ain't got a hold over nobody. The devil can only have what you give him. You have the authority and the power and dominion over him. Amen? How many of you are asleep so far? Are you still with me? If you'll see it in your mind, if you'll say it with your mouth, you'll start living it in your life. I want each and every person here to make that a personal goal for you. Whatever you need, I want you to see it. David was a dreamer. How many of you have ever daydreamed before? Every man in here ought to raise his hand up. That's why you say, huh, to your wife after she says something. You're thinking about something completely different. I don't do that, but I know y'all do that. Uh-huh, huh, that's right, huh? Yeah. Nobody can talk to my wife after church today. She's off limits. But you know that David was a dreamer. He was a visionary. You know you need to start envisioning what it is that you need or want in your life. Start seeing it. Pastor tells a story. He went down to Jamaica. Brother Stoney was down there, and y'all know well about this. Mike and Deborah do. There was a trailer parked out here for the longest time, wasn't it? A container, shipping container? Pastor built them a house. This actual church sponsored and built a house down in Jamaica for him, for Brother Stoney and Sister Evelyn. And so, but when he was in Jamaica, they had this plot of land that was there, and it was all vacant. Nothing was on it. And it was in this cul-de-sac. And Pastor would walk down there, and him and Brother Stoney went down there, and they were talking about they wanted to build this house here. So finally, Pastor, I think probably just had heard enough about it and said, listen, here's what you need to do. Let's go down and get a concrete block. And take this concrete block and let's put it where the house is going to go. So he goes and he gets this block and he sets it right there and he says, now here's what you do. You start calling in that house. You start calling that in. You start speaking over that. And you know what happened? Now, had God called people to help build that house for them, did they not? Shipping containers lined up out here that had just, people were donating stuff. Am I getting the story right? Because I wasn't there. Am I getting the story right? People donated windows and materials and all this stuff that they packed into the shipping containers that they then took down to Jamaica to have this house built. But you know what? If Brother Stoney wouldn't visualize it, if he wouldn't see it, he couldn't have it. And that was what Pastor was trying to get into his head. Start seeing it. I want you to know something. If you need a reconciliation of a relationship in your your life, start seeing it. If you need some finances in your life, start seeing it. If you need to have a house built, start seeing it. If you need your children to come back to Christ, start seeing it. If you need to be set free of depression, start seeing it. If you need a healing touch of your body, start seeing it. I don't care that your back hurts. Are you healed or not? Stand on it. Did the word say it? If the word says it, that settles it. I don't know about you, but other people have put stuff in your closet that you need to get out of too. You've had visitors come into your spiritual household and drop off garbage in your spiritual closet. Get it out of there. Sweep it out, clean it out, cast it out, do whatever you got to do, but get it out of that closet. It ain't yours. It was theirs that they're trying to put on you. You're not good enough. Oh, that's a lie from the devil. You're not strong enough. That's straight from the pits of hell. You're not smart enough. Well, let me tell you something. My God said that he'll give wisdom and give it liberally to anybody who asks. Let me tell you something. You got everything you need. Stop taking other people's junk and putting it into your house. Get it on out of there too. And then here's the beautiful part. Once we get all that out and we get all that room and we start calling in the good things like that, when we start to make that room, the Holy Ghost will start filling it up with what you want it to be in there. Matthew 5, 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you've got a hunger for the world, you're going to fill your house up with worldly things. I realized something. I realized how much money I had spent on junk. If I could have had the money back that we spent on stuff we donated, honey, we'd be going down to the Caribbean this week. We, at the time, thought was a good investment was really just buying a whole bunch of garbage that we really didn't need in our life. What I'd rather have is something of value in my home that money can't buy me. Love, peace, joy, happiness, long-suffering, forgiveness. These are the things that I want filled in my closet. I don't have skeletons in my closet. I've cleared them all out. And I'm not going to allow you to put them back in there. People start to bring that stuff back up. I got no room for it. What's in my closet now is of God, and it's filled by the Spirit of the Lord. And I don't have to take those things back. I left them at the cross. I've cleared them back out. The Holy Spirit has come in, and he's granted me all those desires. He's given me each and everything that I've asked for, that because I was seeking him first, that he said, whatever's mine is yours. But the Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. He won't force himself in where he's not welcomed. But I'm telling you now, the moment that you lay down your pride, you lay down yourself, you lay down your excuses, you lay down all the other reasons why you want to keep filling things up with things other than him, he'll move in. And when he moves in, he fills it from corner to corner, from top to bottom. He will saturate you with his presence and his power. Everybody stand with me this morning. I felt the Lord was telling me, he said, make room for me. Make room in your life for me. Make room in your closet. Make room in your hearts. Make room in your mind. Make room for me. And as you are clearing that stuff out, if you'll bring it to the cross, if you'll put it at the feet of Jesus and never pick it back up, I'll make sure that you'll be full of everything that you need. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. I have to ask, how many of us in here need to make the decision to clean out our closet? Maybe it's time for a spiritual move on our behalf. And because we're in a move right now, it's a great opportunity for us to start clearing it out. If that's you here today, I want you to raise your hand right where you're at. Say, Lord, I need to purge my closet. God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hands up all over the sanctuary this morning. God bless each and every one of you. Let me tell you what, here's how we're going to close out the service today. We're going to play a worship song here, and I want you to come down to the altar. I want you to bring whatever's in that closet of garbage that you've got, and I want you to come and lay it down. And I want you not to pick it back up. Don't even bag it up when you bring it over here. Just sweep it out. Pour it out and be filled up with the Holy Ghost. He'll only do it if you come and ask him to. If you have a need to be met this morning, I want you to come down here. If you need a healing touch,